Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Shazam update, Nightwing update, Danny Elfman update, and so much more, including someone else actually showing up in studio right now.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC movie news.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League, there are assembled
there goes my headset. There goes my headset.
It's gone.
I'm exhausted after that. What's up, everybody? This is the DC Movie News Show on the Popcorn Talk Network. There's only two of us in studio right now. Mike Kalinowski once again out fighting crime all over Gotham. Adam Gertler is on his way. He apparently just passed an automobile that looked like it was in Gotham.
Oh, no.
But he'll be here any second. But that's okay. We got the squad right here. We're going to get rolling. So we're at DC Movies SK on Twitter and Facebook.com/DC Movies SK. Johnny LaQuasto here at Jay Quasto wearing my 1990s shirt, which...
Sweet shirt, brah.
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
appreciate that.
I got you.
And the voice you hear and the face you see is the crown jewel of the DC Movie News Show. She's the host of TV Fights on Screen Junkies and so much more. She'll take you higher. She's Roxy Stryer.
Two quick questions.
Yo.
Number one, did this count as going to the gym for the day?
It could. I got blown up from it.
Cool. Number two, isn't update a weird word? Like, where does it come from? Update.
Basically, okay, if you have a date, this is my guess. If you have a date, you go up, it means like a newer version of that date.
Oh, like the next one's better, and yeah, that's an update. I feel like that's upgrade. Update.
That's a good point as well. Does anyone know the origin of the word update?
It's kind of flipping me out, because you said it so, in the intro, you had a sick intro, man. But
thanks.
It was like, this update, that update, and I realized I'd never thought about the word update before. Update.
I guarantee you someone in chat roll will tell us by the end of the show, because they're very educated people.
Ooh, Merlin1964 says up to date.
Hey, I like it.
That's good.
Lewis Cox, I don't know where to get this shirt. I had a job with the History Channel, and it was about the 90s, and I said, hey, do you have anything like Fresh Prince style? And this is the shirt they gave me, and I said, I'm keeping this shirt, and I kept it.
It's a bomb shirt.
Yeah, I gotta start wearing it in public more often.
They're shipping us in the chat right now, as you know, our hashtag Roxney, the OG ship.
Okay.
Get it? Because remember, you know what ships are.
I know what ships are, but apparently that's outdated, though. You said people aren't shipping no more.
Okay, we are still the OG ship, though.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. I'll take it.
Cool.
I haven't been shipped in a long time. I'll take that.
All right.
So what's up with you, before we get into the news?
Maxin, relaxing, all cool. Maxin.
Sitting all...
V-ball outside the pool.
The school.
School.
The school.
A couple of guys that were up to no good. That's us.
Yep.
We started making trouble in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing the damn thing.
That's right.
Doing the damn thing. We do have some good stuff today. And what's really up with me, Johnny, is I'm excited for TV time today because finally we have a show that is back.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Gotham. And I'm excited to talk about that. You know, if it was up to me, we would start with TV time first every single week.
Sure.
But you guys bully me into having it be the end of the episode.
No, it's not that we're bullied. Technically, the show's called DC Movie News. So that's kind of what we have to get rolling with, especially
and
with...
And by technically, you mean that's just like...
Hey,
that is the title.
I mean, there's a blockbuster film coming out in, what, 5 weeks? 6 weeks.
Damn.
When's the release date of Justice League? November 13th?
I was going to say 20.
Am I right on that? I don't know.
Shouldn't we know this?
We should know this, but I don't remember anything.
I know.
You know my brain.
We'll figure
it out
right now.
So, yeah, I'm sure someone in chat will let us know immediately. So, anyways,
let's
get
into it. And they'll be like, why'd you do that? 17th, that's why.
Oh,
I was going to say 22nd, you said 15th?
So we're in the middle.
The 13th? Yeah, 17th. Wow,
right.
That is so effing soon.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll be able to see it before then.
I mean,
are
by
you
the
listening,
time...
Warner Brothers? Send us them ticks, though.
Well, you know what? That update's coming. But first things first, we're going to talk Nightwing. So, a Nightwing casting update from Chris McKay. I like Chris McKay a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like him as much as Sandberg, just because Sandberg is so damn funny.
You're obsessed with him and his social media. I know. But
I want to have
great
beers with Sandberg.
How do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
How do we get that going? I feel like our fans can make that happen.
I mean, if you guys want to tweet at Sandberg that I'm a cool guy to hang out with and that I brew my own beer, hit him up because he is hilarious.
Maybe
I know he drinks.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Send them to him.
Well, he drinks a lot of Coca-Cola, though. But, I mean, maybe some beer would actually, judging by his Instagram.
Life is good. Jay Quasto. Is life is good Coca-Cola slogan, even?
I don't think so. The only Coca-Cola commercial I know is the one with the polar bears every Christmas.
Is it Life Tastes Good? You guys know what I'm talking about.
Life is good is LG.
No, not that one. Coca-Cola.
Sure.
What does it say?
I don't know. But I know what Chris McKay says. He said he tweeted this week, okay, since I'm worried about you having a heart attack, no one has been cast yet. We are taking our time. We're going to cast a wide net, .. because we need to find the perfect person. We need to get the script right. We need to have this movie blow your mind.
Yeah.
So essentially,
this was in response to somebody tweeting saying, so it's been almost a week. Don't you want to tell us something?
Right. I love the fact. Make us wait. I'm totally cool.
It's been almost a week. That's why he's like, okay, I'm worried about you having a heart attack. Like, how funny is it where we are now at this day and age where it's like, it's been almost a week. How could you have not said something?
That's 7 calendar days.
Oh, my God. It's been almost a week.
How dare you?
How horrible. The pain. The horror. The outrage.
I'm verklempt.
I haven't heard verklempt in a long time.
I just brought it back.
The Jews use it quite frequently. Are you part of the tribe now?
I'd love to be.
Cool. I like that he did respond. It's very rare that you get a response, so I think that this is great. And it's also great that they're taking their time.
Yes.
They're going to cast a wide net. We talked about last week, there's so many different versions of Nightwing that we could actually go with. Like, we talked about this last week as well. He could be any race. We could have multiple. I would like to see him in his early, mid-20s, but he could be of a different age.
Yeah.
There's all different things.
I mean, 20s, it could vary. People that are 29 could look 21 and vice versa. So it really all depends.
Oh, yeah. On the CW shows, if you're 18, really, you're 42.
For sure.
Definitely.
Same thing with 90210 back in the day. They started
I remember that guy, Teddy. He was like 38.
Luke Perry was like 70 when that show came out.
Legit 70.
I think.
The girl responded to him and said, OMG, you're the best. Since you answered me, I'm certainly having a heart attack right now.
No. Don't have a heart attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm literally having a heart attack. Literally.
When you're literally having a heart attack, you don't really say
I'm literally having a heart attack, okay?
Yeah.
I am.
But I think it's great they're taking their time. Look, the thing with superhero movies, you see a lot of people that don't have extensive resumes get the job sometime because they're trying to find the right person. And I'd be great with Nightwing not being a name. I think that'd be fantastic. So why not cast
him? Oh my God, is that a girl or I'm literally having a heart attack?
I'm literally having a heart attack.
Doing it.
Wait, lie down. I don't know. I don't know what you're supposed to do.
No, you don't know what to do. Lie down. If I'm having a heart attack, I'm probably down, my friend.
Oh God. Yeah, well, you shouldn't stand up. If you're having a heart attack and you stand up, you're going to fall. So I'm going to get you to the ground.
Imagine if I'm sitting in this chair and I'm like, I'm having a heart attack and Adam's like, I don't know, lie down.
Yeah.
Well, my girlfriend's a nurse. I don't know what to do, though.
We should ask her.
I mean, I'm CPR certified if you really need
me too, but CPR, not the same thing as having a heart attack.
No, that is very true.
Yeah, because that's
true story. One time I performed CPR on somebody who did have a heart attack.
Wow, that's incredible. How'd they do?
He died.
Oh, God.
I know.
Roxy,
I didn't tell the ending because it wasn't as good as the beginning.
Well, yeah, they probably should have. Okay.
Anyway.
So, welcome to glad you're here before the Nightwing discussion is finished.
What have you guys talked about?
We just talked about
so
Nightwing.
And about how he just wants to make it awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What more could you ask for?
Yeah. Right. He's like, calm down. We don't have it cast. I think it's great.
I'll tell you, the reason that Batman Lego movie didn't do better is because I think like people like me appreciated it more than like the kids maybe that it was aimed at. I remember laughing so uncomfortably loud and like the 14-year-old girl next to me, I lost my crap. This guy is such a geek.
Right.
I'm just so excited about, you know these comments and from another person, I'm not getting as excited. But the fact that I've already seen some of his pudding and the proof therein make me enormously excited for a Nightwing movie.
If only Mike Kalinowski remembered Puddin'.
Yeah.
Oh my God! I wasn't
proof
even
in that pudding.
I was not trying to take a shot at pudding.
Seemed
there.
That way.
That's I was telling Roxy before you made your grand triumphant entrance that it's hard for me to decide who I like better, Chris McKay or David Sandberg. I'm still leaning Sandberg because he's really funny.
Have you looked at all those Instagram things?
He's the man.
He's doing this like Shining thing. It's amazing. Oh, yeah. Wow. I thought I turned the volume off.
You were playing that volume, though.
I don't know why I was playing the volume.
That's okay. All right, let's move on.
He's the man. So there was a Justice League trailer shown at an event, which makes a lot of people think that we're going to get the trailer publicly next week. Some people are saying Thursday, October 5th, to possibly be paired with Blade Runner 2049.
Let's test this to see how crazy we are. Adam, what is the date that Justice League is coming out?
November 17th?
Yeah, that was right. I said 22nd.
I said 13th.
I don't know why. It feels a lot further off than it is.
That's not.
Like, November 17th, that is crazy.
Well, November 3rd is Ragnarok, right? And that's Hulk. And then a week after is the 10th. I don't know. Probably Thor again. And then that clears. I mean, wow, guys, November.
I know.
For comic book movies is coming on strong. It's like our third wave. Now we're there where it's full on.
I think you just call it's fire. That's what the cool kids say. Like, wow, November's fire.
November is going to be fire for comic book movies, as long as they're both good. I mean, if they suck, it will not be fire. It'll be, like, on fire.
Well, that's Jeff Johns showed up at the National Association of Theater Owners Fall Summit and showed off a brand new Justice League trailer, so...
Is it because it was theater that you went British on that?
Theater, yeah.
Right. Just checking.
So you gotta believe next week sometime, and I think the Blade Runner 2049 combo might actually be...
Oh, it's perfect timing.
Yeah.
It's perfect timing.
I'd say there's a 100% chance that this happens. Hmm? I'd say there's no way that's not happening.
Yeah, but remember, what was the one that we said that about with Wonder Woman, and then it didn't happen? Was it Harry Potter? Or... Yeah, it was,
What's that one that's not Harry Potter,
but Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
And then it didn't.
The Fantastic Fox.
Kind of.
No, but this is different. This is a month away.
Yeah,
and,
true.
And then we have word that the trailer just showed. And, like, Whedon's just finishing up. This movie is... Like, they said they had that assembly cut that they showed last week. Like, this movie is an active preparation. So, I can't wait for Blade Runner. And then, I mean, and a new Justice League trailer with new stuff.
Especially the last trailer I thought was fantastic.
Chat roll, what are the odds that they actually have the balls and don't actually show Cavill's face at all?
They better not show his face.
You made it this far, right? Are they going to blow it on the last trailer?
I think 60% chance they don't show his face.
But are some people crunching a number saying, like, if we show that Superman's in this movie, that's another $30 million opening weekend. If people are not sure if Superman's in this movie, if that could... I mean, I don't know.
But do you think Superman pulls more than Batman? Because I don't think so.
No, but the combination, like, just taking Superman out of the equation, if there's a chance that a segment doesn't get it...
I don't know, because you have Wonder Woman and Batman already. I don't think there's a whole new audience. Is like, I'm not seeing it for them, but for Superman, I would have.
Oh, my God. I really hope, especially with the Danny Elfman news, which I'm sure we're going to talk about soon.
Yes. We waited for you for that one.
Yeah, thank you.
Sarah wants to know where you got your shirt. She wants it.
It's a nice one.
I don't know. Looks comfy. Like Target or something? I don't know.
I got to say this, too. If you don't know Superman's going to be in this, even the casual fan has to know... Superman's going to be in the film. It is called Justice League. I don't think you should show him in the damn trailer at all.
I'm hearing 80% no Cavill, 70% they don't show him. I think the way they did it in the last trailer with, you know, and they're watching it again. I feel like Jeremy Irons is definitely talking to Superman. I would be shocked if it's a swerve.
Yeah, if that's Supergirl, that's a weird play.
We've already seen Steppenwolf enough. I don't want to see any more Steppenwolf in the new trailer either.
Yeah, and honestly...
Where do you think update comes from?
What do you mean?
Oh,
Moving on.
We're trying to figure out the word update and where it came from and what it means.
Oh, the word update.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I think the chat figured it out with up to date.
It's up to date. Yeah, the most up to date news. Yeah, yep. That's what I was going
to
say.
You know how we talk about how I like to derail things?
Yes.
That was that.
Oh, great.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Excellent.
All right, Johnny hit us.
Yeah, and so speaking of Justice League, the forecasted numbers are out. And the forecast is for $150 million for an opening weekend, which some people are saying, that's not enough. Other people are saying, oh my God, that's too much. Let's look at other films. So Superman, Dawn of Justice, forecasted for $154. It brought in $166.
BVS, right. And that's with pretty poor word of mouth.
There you go.
They
very
showed
poor.
It that Monday before that we were at, and people started crapping on that movie. Yep. It was like 20% Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes.
Still... 166.
And Suicide Squad forecasted $98 million, brought in $133 million. Wonder Woman was forecasted.
And that also had Suicide a really Squad. Bad word of mouth.
Suicide yeah. Squad. No one's ever heard of that comic outside no. of the outside of actual comic book collectors. All right, totally an unknown property. Only been done in one, and yet. The Harley Quinn, the advertising, the Joker, they get the word out.
Had a hell of a trailer.
And a piece of shit movie, in my opinion. Well, didn't sure. really like the end result. Still pulls in. What would it pull in?
133.
Amazing.
Had a hell of a trailer, too. Multiple trailers. Wonder Woman forecasted at $83 million, and it actually brought in $101, which in hindsight is very surprising.
You're telling me that Suicide Squad did better than Wonder Woman?
Yes. Yeah. But here's wow. the thing. Wonder Crazy. Woman had the one thing that the other DC movies really haven't. And
hearts.
That is
tits.
Legs.
Legs and hearts.
That's really funny. And boobs. With hearts, tick, tick. I went Sweet with the, with the metaphoric legs. The thing just kept going as people saw the film.
And a lot of heart. Yeah. Just a little more heart than Suicide Squad.
And yes, and tits.
But it's
well.
Amazing it only made 101 because in hindsight, we're damn near $1 billion now.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But again,
it's also surprising that Suicide Squad was forecast at 98 with Wonder Woman only at 83. I would think that they wouldn't have forecasted Suicide Squad that high.
Right. Well, if Suicide Squad, I think, had been received better, I think it would have helped Wonder Woman.
Do you think it's Will Smith, though, and Margot? Is that why they forecasted it so high?
That's why they forecasted it so high? Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think so. And, like, having the Joker in a film. But I think that that film possibly hurt Wonder Woman's opening weekend because I think people were like, fool me twice.
Sure.
And a lot of people, because I think by that point, it's the third movie in DCEU, fourth movie, I guess. And
I didn't like Man of Steel
and people
at all.
Are like, well, I like these kind of movies, and I didn't like these. And then Wonder Woman, it was the word of mouth mm-hmm. that kept it going, and then it was, you know...
Well, our friend Miss Solange Knowles says that if Justice League gets good reviews, she predicts $200 million opening weekend.
I kind Damn. Of... I agree.
$200
million. I agree with this idea. People are going to see the movie. I think $150 is a perfect... Mean number? Is it mean or median? I don't know which one is appropriate here because if it gets crapped on, I think it goes as low as 130-ish, which would be embarrassing if Justice League opened less than Suicide
Squad.
No
way it's going to open
less. But yeah, one
of
them's the average, one of them's the middle mark of all of the votes.
I think mean
is
the average.
There's no way it's going to open less than Suicide Squad. Not possible.
You're right. So when you put it in terms of that, like, yeah, how can it do less than 150? But I do agree that if people are talking it up and it... And people are not bummed out by it like they were with BVS, but they actually go see it multiple times, and then the hype train mounts, then I think, 180.
I mean, I guess
I think
if
180 is very doable.
I guess if Thor is amazing, and a lot of people are still seeing Thor before they see Justice League, that's a possibility. But I don't know how, I don't know how amazing Thor is going to be. It's the third one.
Medium.
Panther says 180 mil easy. I mean, it should do it. It should
I think
do
so,
it.
But yeah.
I'm starting to get those early... feelings of positivity about Justice League, and part of it is like I feel like Joss Whedon, I can't believe the balls on this guy to get back in the ring after being so beaten down on Avengers 2 and mm-hmm. walking away fairly acrimoniously from Marvel. I mean, what a thing to walk into. This guy mm-hmm. does not need it, and this guy was so stressed out. I really want to believe the good things that it's going to kill it. It's going to be great.
Well, we know the score is going to be pretty good. Moving on, Danny Elfman. So. Ooh. He was in London and Vienna in the past week, I believe. And an attendee explained
that... Is that where Mozart is from?
Sure.
Maybe?
Maybe.
Is Mozart from Vienna? I don't know.
Somewhere. Back me up on that chat roll. Where's Mozart from? Right.
Somewhere that has really good white wigs. So Danny Elfman spoke about doing the mock-up and the samples for a particularly moving sequence that just didn't do justice for what he intended. So he persuaded the producers to hire a string orchestra to embellish the mock-up. Woof. There you go.
Well, I really like the idea of actual people playing string instruments versus somebody behind a synthesizer, which is how the soundtracks have been going. And I understand it. You get a pretty good sound,
and
but
good
really
bang
cheap.
For your buck. Yeah.
But that, again, yeah, it makes me happy. But this, I heard this story before I heard the next thing about Danny Elfman. Like, it was like within hours. I was like, oh, that's cool. And then the next day, I heard these details about what we're going to talk about next, which is just bizarre and crazy.
Mm-hmm. So, Danny Elfman, great news there. Now, I'm not sure how this comes out. I guess leaking online after people seeing it.
There's quotes. Do we have the quotes? We got to pull up this article. These Danny Elfman quotes are kind of amazing. And guys, spoilers. Yeah. We're going to talk about some stuff. I believe that he gives away some serious... Plot points. No, it's the one I just added a link to today where he talks about the themes using the Batman theme.
Oh, yes. Here you go. There's a whole lot of
the Batman theme and the Superman theme. So it's the John Williams piece. Yeah, I love
that. That's the one that we were texting about today.
So, yeah. So apparently Danny Elfman implies, again, spoilers, that he goes back to the John Williams soundtrack in a way, in an interesting part with reference to the Superman character. Hmm. And then he goes on to say, spoilers potentially, that it's not exactly the theme and it's in a surprising way. Because I'm thinking, oh yeah, when we see Superman resurrected, dun, 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 any kind of version of that.
Wow.
But he's saying it's in a way where, again, spoilers, you don't know which side he's on, which is what some people have been suspecting for a long time, that we're going to get this pseudo-bizarro Superman, or a Superman that is, realizing the visions portended? In BVS. All right, so that quote.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go for it? Because you're the quote queen.
Oh, yeah, because I'm so good at it.
Yeah.
There no are... Viennese accent. Just read it straight. It's Danny Elfman.
Okay.
Oingo Boingo.
There are a few little fan moments. I instated a moment of the Wonder Woman theme that Hans Zimmer did for Batman v Superman.
Which everybody loves.
But I also had 2 minutes where I had the pleasure of saying, let's do John Williams Superman. And that for me was heaven. I'm sure he said it just like
was,
that.
That was
because
good.
Because now I have a melody to twist and I'm using it in an actually very dark way in a dark moment. It's the kind of thing that some fans will notice, some won't. The moment where we're really not sure whose side he's on.
Which I think is an incredible slip of the tongue. Like,
yeah.
First of all, it's public acknowledgement that Superman's in the movie, which is like in and out.
But, I mean, look, the way...
Well, he actually doesn't say that, though.
But the way BVS ended and such.
Sure.
Come on.
Well, it's interesting because I don't know if, that floating dirt is going to actually be how they tie it back in. It seems like they've cut a lot of the Zack Snyder out of the story points of Justice League. So it's going to be interesting to see how much the way Zack envisioned that resurrection to happen, because that's what he was talking about when he was promoting BVS. It's like, he comes back in Justice League, but no one's going to imagine how he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fact that he also took, did you get to the part where he talked about the Batman, using the Batman in that as well?
That was the next thing.
So that's amazing to me. I think it's cool that Warner Brothers is embracing their past, their iconic past, and that's kind of what Elfman implies. Like, rather than trying to reinvent the wheel every time.
He says, it was the same as when I worked with Whedon on Ultron. He appreciates melodies and pieces. He's like, oh, you've given it identity here. There was a moment where Batmobile shoots out of a thing and he goes, go batshit crazy here, Batman the shit out of it. When I'm using the Batman theme, I'm using the melodic sense of it. I wasn't doing full-on Batman, and there's a moment when he says, no, right here, full-on.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay, now, for me, Batman 89, I was 12 years old when it came out. When I started driving a car, I had that cassette cranking. That was the first soundtrack that I had any kind of like actual live
Bat
connection
dance and
to.
Whatnot.
No, not that part. The Danny Elfman tape.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
I don't even listen to the Prince soundtrack. It might be good now, but I mean, it was all about that mood music of the Elfman, the gothic, the Tim Burton, all coming together.
Mm-hmm.
If he's referencing himself in that kind of way, like, that will make me really, really happy.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that, and I think the chat does too. And like D Wizzle says, as long as it's just homage instead of just riding the nostalgia, it should be interesting.
Right.
Yeah, but I can imagine this cacophonous part with the Batmobile with this crazy action. And it's like, if you listen to some of those action sequences per the score in the Batman film, it's just,
plus,
it's a delight.
Bottom line is, we all are nostalgic. You know what I mean? Like, we love being reminded.
Not if you're a kid.
Sure.
That's when you're not nostalgic.
Then you can't be nostalgic.
Which matters in these films, you know?
Matt Murdock said, so happy Elfman is bringing part of his Batman theme back because Junkie's Batman theme was so generic and bad. Hey, I don't disagree. And I also got to say, one of my biggest complaints about BVS was every time Superman was on screen, it was like, dum, dum. It was this dirge. And I'm like, it was a bummer, man. I mean, listen, you have one of the most iconic pieces of music associated with a character. And he also references how, like, every time a Star Wars movie comes back, you don't throw out John Williams, you know? Like, it's part of the thing. So, yes, a new vision of Superman, yes, and I'm glad that they've tried everything. Is it going back to the well? Maybe, but it's freaking iconic. That John Williams music is as much a part of Superman's lore as his freaking boots at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that.
A lot of people are guessing Justice League's runtime. This is something we can get to over the next 6 weeks, but I think they're overestimating. I say 2 hours and 32 minutes tops. I don't think it's going to be any longer than that.
I agree with you.
Where are you getting 232?
That's just my guess.
I agree, because people are saying 245. So it's interesting. I know a lot
just
of this...
Just wondering why not 230.
I don't know.
I think they were cutting a lot of the fat out of this movie. One of the biggest complaints that people have had with these DCEU movies, and even with Marvel movies, is how much their advertisements for the movies coming up. And it sounds like just hearing like Apocalypse being excised, Lex Luthor being excised, Kiersey Clemons being excised.
Next story is we already know about Lex Luthor, and now Kiersey Clemons, even though she described her scenes as blanking sick, really, you know, great scenes, I guess, they have been cut from Justice League. You got to believe that they're going to be in the extras or the DVDs, kind of like Jenna Malone was in BVS. But yeah, so she is not going to be Iris West in Justice League. So I guess whatever
she
did.
What do you think she meant by blanking sick?
Fucking sick. Okay. Oh, I fell right into that. I totally didn't mean to. Okay.
Got him.
Roxy. Roxy, what do you think? Because I have an opinion about this.
You mean on whether or not I think she actually will be cut if we're all able to see them again?
If she's cut, how do you feel about it?
I think that's a bummer. Honestly, because remember when she was coming into Flash, remember it was with a different director, director who had worked with her previously. And if she's cut from that, then I feel as if maybe they just didn't have time and they're trying to drop things on the cutting room floor. But it does make me a little nervous. I'm not stoked about it. Just because if Iris West was an important part of the story at any point, if we're going to see that part of Barry Allen's life, then why would they cut that?
Because Flashpoint's going to cover a lot more.
Well, Flashpoint can't cover the reverse side of that. First, we need to know what the life looks like before we go into Flashpoint.
Some people are acknowledging the fact that it is a rumor. And yes, it's a rumor. But here's one reason why you might want to cut her. Just like, what was it? Like Shailene Woodley was supposed to be MJ in the Amazing Spider-Man films. Like, there are certain things where if you don't show it at all, it's not part of the canon. So you don't know if they're using an Iris West in the Flashpoint movie at all, still. You don't know if she's going to be Iris West. By doing some of these cuts, it gives them the freedom to go beyond whatever Zach's kind of plans were.
Yes, but it was such an early addition to the cast. We've known about Iris West for so long now that it is interesting. She's one of the only things that's actually stuck.
It's just hard to say whether it's actually a bummer or not because there's too much information. You're right. No, as an actress.
I like her.
I like her too. But if it's unnecessary and if there's a new vision for the film, I'm about, and don't take this the wrong way. I don't necessarily I think Zack Snyder having too much control of the DC universe was really bad.
I agree, I don't
like how Jimmy Olsen was just discarded as an homage to the fans.
Yeah.
There are some things that, like, why prevent any other director from playing with all those toys?
There needed to be someone questioning his decision-making.
Like, it just
didn't
make sense.
Also, another reason I don't love it is because I feel for her. Like, she is an actress who's up and coming. People don't know her that well. And being in Justice League is a huge break. Imagine filming something in Justice League that gets cut.
But we also heard that a favorite, and this is probably one of the next things, like Geoff Johns had said at the same event where they showed this new trailer that the collective favorite of the film was
The Flash.
The Flash.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just can't tell. I mean, maybe they just couldn't go that much into that story. Like, To make it a leaner film, like, I really hope we hear more about, like, what happened, like, the making of this movie. Like, after it comes out and we've lived with it, I want to hear, like, what was in there, what wasn't in there, and why these decisions were made. And I hope it's because we like it so much.
Yeah, me too. I agree with that completely.
Well, moving on, we got Shazam. I guess you can call it an update. Geoff Johns decided to stop by David Sandberg's office, and now it is a ridiculous pile of Coke Zero and Coca-Cola cans with Geoff Johns holding a sign that says, "Get back to work."
He's your boy!
I know!
You love him!
He's the best!
Who's the main character in The Shining? Jack something?
Oh, his actual name?
Jack Nicholson played, but it was like all work and dull play makes Jack. Jack? Anyway, David F. Sandberg's whole Instagram thing is this like Shining-esque kind of thing where you see the production office slowly build, a can of Coke, the toys. If you're not following it, It's really funny. Like, every day of production, like, from, like, day 1 to 20, including, I think, the day before where he said, like, oh, I'm not going to be on Instagram for a while, And then culminating with Jeff Johns in here.
I'm going to look it up right now.
It's really, really funny stuff. And this is the kind of thing that I think we were missing.
And his name is Pony Smasher.
Also, look at what the tweets are above it that they printed. How does one get in this photo? And then they put that there.
By the way,
I found Waldo. Good game, sir.
Low-calorie Coca-Cola products.
This man only has 13,700 followers on Instagram. That's amazing to me.
Yeah, it's going to go up.
Face is not in front of the camera, you immediately drop by a lot. Johnny.
Oh, here's a photo 2 days ago of just toys. Shazam
toys. I haven't even seen that one. It's funny. Great. So
he says, I'm going to be out of the office tomorrow. Don't worry, though. I'm still drinking unhealthy amounts of Coke Zero.
It's so funny.
I love it.
It's awesome.
Every day he posts a different one. You're right.
This kind of stuff is making me more excited for Shazam than I was before.
Yeah.
Before making a casting announcement that The Rock is going to be Black Adam 17 years ago, this guy's Instagram is make me more excited because I now know him a little bit. I know his weird sense of humor. We had the leaked script. Like,
I love that script.
This is
too.
Like the best almost advertising or pre-advertising or whatever campaign since Deadpool. That it's right. Really quiet at this point because there's no movie yet. But they're still connecting to the fans. They're feeding the fan base just these little morsels.
And the best thing is, like, you can tell Sandberg, Shazam obviously is going to be, you know, a lighter film as far as maybe comedy, and Sandberg gets it. The dude's funny.
Yeah. I mean, do you have a hood? I'm not sure. I don't know. Does your costume have a hood? Maybe.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, I'm excited to see what, and the fact that, geez, we're in almost October and it's supposed to begin production.
Wow, it's not October?
February?
I can't believe it's September still.
Days away from October.
Is that correct? Production in February, Shazam, they said?
Yeah.
In 2018, I don't know about February.
Okay. Well, geez. Still no Shazam.
Zeno Hour. Yeah. Zeno Hour says, the DCEU problems weren't Snyder. It was the studio execs. I think there's probably blame to go around all over the place there.
Right.
I think it's probably some blame. But listen, you can't know something's not working until you try and you course correct, which is why this Justice League film is going to be the most interesting experiment product we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because it represents, they've already turned the corner, and how do you make something that was part of one vision satisfy a separate vision and seem seamless? I don't know. That's what's going to be amazing to see.
And there was also a featurette in Japan with the Justice League cast this past week, and a quote from Ben Affleck when asked about Batman and the rumors about him leaving. He said, we see the evolution of a new Batman. Inspired by Superman's sacrifice, he's moved on from lone vigilante to recruiter and leader.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
He's getting the band together. I love it. I mean, that's it.
But so is she.
Yep. Yes. They're partners.
Totally.
Yeah, they're like the Oceans team, right? I mean, it's like they're getting like this band of misfits together. I do love it. It has... It's a recipe, it's a formula that we've seen before, but like many great formulas and recipes,
if you do it right, it tastes great.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's where you were going, but
it's exactly where I was going. It's exactly where I was going.
Did we skip over the Jeff Johns flash?
Guys, almost like if you're doing a recipe and you want to cook for somebody.
Yep, very much so.
Yes!
Blue Apron is a way to do that.
Yep.
You've seen there's a lot of different ways to have these meal kits, but Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service in the country.
Love it.
They've established partnerships with over 150 local farms. Why that many farms? Because it's a big country. And to keep it local, you have to have those interests spread throughout the country. Beef, chicken, pork, they all come from responsibly raised animals. What does that mean? Well, I make sausages. I can tell you that means hormone-free, antibiotic-free. That means humanely raised. That means diets akin to what the animals actually want to be eating. So cows want to eat grass, etc. Cooking together builds strong family bonds. That's what they want me to say. But I want to say something else here. I want to say that this is the number one way to close a deal on a date if you're not sure.
Like, really?
You pick up chicks.
I mean, honestly.
By cooking?
Pick up chicks or dudes. Yes, 100%. Okay. I never had the looks or the charm to really close a deal. But once I was able to start cooking, then that's when things really started to happen because it's the sweetest, most special thing. You can spend money in a restaurant.
Sure.
What does that do? But when you actually get in and you learn to do something, they're just touched.
And honestly, I've never seen my boyfriend more excited than when I make him Blue Apron meals. Like, he comes home, and that is the biggest deal for him. Wow. They're so good.
Not only that, but going to a restaurant, you'll spend over $100 for two people if it's a decent restaurant. And now you can spend under $10 per person for a delicious meal. That's under $20 for two, under $40 for four. Some upcoming meals we have. Summer vegetables, that was quick math. Summer vegetables and egg paninis with Calabrian chili mayonnaise. Damn. And caprese salad. I love this one. Soy glazed pork and rice cakes. Those are those little noodly rice cakes. I love those. With bok choy, marinated green beans, garlic butter shrimp with corn, green bean salad, roasted purple tomatoes.
Ooh, a little color in there.
So lots good. Of things. So, and then you can go online and you can look at what they offer and you could customize your box. Check out this week's menu. Go to blueapron.com. Try your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/movie news. That's us. We're the movie news. We're going to give you that discount. And that's blueapron.com/movie news. It's a better way to cook, and more importantly, it's a better way to finish your date.
And we can tell you there's nothing better than customized boxes.
Yeah, you always want a customized box.
Touching it.
The perfect box for you.
Here's the thing, guys. Flashpoint script has been submitted to DC Films. I'm a little so Justin Kroll from Variety went to Twitter this week saying that Lord and Miller are out of the running. I'm not quite sure where he came to that conclusion.
Because it was announced that they were doing this other movie. Artemis.
Yeah, the one from, who's the guy, the writer, is it Lucifer's show? No, wait, who's the person?
No, The Martian, Andy Weir.
The Martian, yeah.
It's a little bit directing.
Andy Weir's follow-up. Is the book out? I'm waiting for the audiobook because I'm a lazy, attention deficit driven person. I haven't read the book. I read The Martian and it was freaking awesome. I thought the movie was really, really good, as many, many people did. So this is actually exciting for them, separate from us. While it sucks to lose them on Flash, I like to see these guys coming away from Han Solo saying, we'll go get our own original sci-fi thing. And we'll show you Kathleen Kennedy and Disney. Like, that's the vibe I get it. So,
yep.
I'm not sorry to see them go. I'm happy for them.
I agree. And another thing I'll just say about this was coming from Justin Kroll, who is low-key becoming one of my favorite people to follow on Twitter from Variety. He breaks a lot of DC-related stuff.
Yep.
So, if you want to be in the know.
So, you think he's pretty trustworthy, this guy?
I find him to be pretty spot on.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, but it makes sense, though. If they're going to be directing Artemis and working on that, there's no way they're going to take on.
NinjaNed99 would like us to acknowledge the Zemeckis rumors.
Yeah, so we've talked. I love how people are referring to him as Bobby Zemeckis now. Like
Bobby Z?
Like, do you guys.
What
you,
up, BZ?
You know, is Bobby going to be working on this?
Bobby!
We've talked about it before on the show. I think we all would be pro Zemeckis coming aboard. But it is just a rumor right now, and you guys are the ones who always say us, it's movie knows, movie knows.
Right.
And it's a rumor. You don't really sound like that.
Godhead points out that Artemis and Martian are both DC characters. It's funny you should say that. When I first saw this Lord Miller thing and Artemis, I'm like, what? They're doing a Batgirl? They're doing Artemis? But no, it was not that, but that's really funny.
I love when your New York accent comes out.
What?
When I first saw
what's going on here? They're making an Artemis movie?
I saw it.
No, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry to be a little
all the human beings. All right.
Do we want to talk about James Cameron? I guess we could.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
He clarified his comments or whatever.
So he had an interview with The Hollywood Reporter responding to Patty Jenkins and you know, the misogynistic, what many people interpret, that he had weeks ago. So here's the quote.
I feel like interpret's a nice word.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, being down the middle of the road here. He said, Linda Hamilton, who played Sarah Connor in The Terminator, looked great. She just wasn't treated as a sex object. There was nothing sexual about her character. It was about angst. It was about will, determination. She was crazy. She was complicated. She wasn't there to be liked or ogled? Oogled?
Yeah.
Ogled. Whatever. Ogled. Sorry, I couldn't even get that right. But she was central, and the audience loved her by the end of the film. So much as I applaud Patty directing the film and Hollywood, quote, letting a woman direct a major action franchise. I didn't think there was anything groundbreaking about Wonder Woman. I thought it was a good film, period. I was certainly shocked that my comment was controversial. It was pretty obvious in my mind. I just think Hollywood doesn't get it about women in commercial franchises.
What?
Drama, they've got that cracked. But the second they start making a big commercial action film, they think they have to appeal to 18-year-old males or 14-year-old males, whatever it is. Look, it was probably a little bit of a simplistic remark on my part, and I'm not taking it back. But I will add a little detail to it, which is I like the fact that sexually she had the upper hand with the male character, which I thought was fun.
This, like, made it worse for me.
I don't know. I mean, I appreciate anybody that speaks frankly and in a non-PC manner. And I don't find anything really offensive to me about what he said, but I'm not a woman.
Sure.
And the fact that I think he was trying to say that, like, Linda Hamilton's character, there was no part of it that, like, sexuality was used, in his opinion. I don't know if that's true or not. She was an attractive woman.
I mean, yeah, I don't recall.
But in Wonder Woman, there's a sexuality that's there in the costume, in the origin and all that. And so while she's a strong character, she's a sexual character. But I would also argue that, like, the Beastmaster or Conan the Barbarian are also sexualized action stars.
But, I mean, Wonder Woman's character, since the dawn of its origin, always had, I guess you could say, the sexual overtone to it with the outfit and everything.
I think that's what he's saying. And all he's saying is that for those reasons you're pointing out, the character is not groundbreaking. And he's not saying it's bad. He's just saying there's no new groundbreaking here because it's just a realization of that same old archetype. I don't think he's wrong to make those comments. I don't know if I necessarily agree, because if women around the world were empowered by this, I think that's
all that matters.
That makes it a huge step forward.
Just, like, close your, not you, Adam, him, close your mouth when you don't know what you're talking about here. And for him to say it was pretty obvious in my mind, I just think Hollywood doesn't get it about women in commercial franchises. You don't get it.
Yeah. Right. There's no reason for him. No one was asking him to say this.
Yeah, I don't think it got better. I think it got worse. Do I think he's a bad dude? Do I think this was, like, he on purpose was trying to be malicious? No. Mm-hmm. But just, like,
Yeah. Some people are saying Cameron's tone is haughty because it's other people who do not see what he sees. Yeah, he's a genius and he probably doesn't suffer fools. And it's hard to put yourself in James Cameron's shoes. The guy only comes up to plate and makes the biggest grossing film of all time almost every time.
Sure.
You know, I mean, like, he took his sort of B-movie Terminator, turned it around, made it the most successful, most technologically advanced film, like, ever at that time with the sequel. Yeah. Like, the Aliens. I mean, the guy's got a track record.
He's not a movie critic, though, Adam. So, like, Why are you here? If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
There you
unless
go.
You're a film critic, you which go. You're not.
Yeah.
So just...
Yeah.
Yep. Before we go to TV time, I did want to go back because I don't think we really talked about John's talking about how Flash is the favorite in Justice League. Did we mention that at all?
Yeah, Jeff Johns
mentioned
it
a little bit.
Oh, we did? I took a nap?
You were out of it.
Just the fact that we're hearing this at all, this is why I think I have good feelings about Justice League. The fact that we're hearing these comments and Geoff Johns talking about the screenings.
But what do you think about what does this mean? Does this mean the other characters not as much, or does this mean the Flash? Hell yeah.
Yeah,
no, it's like how people come out of Guardians talking about, like, Drax.
Yeah.
Or something, you know, like, you just, like, wow, unexpected. And like,
in my opinion, in Guardians 2, we had way too much Drax.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, he laughed, belly laughed, like, way too many times.
I agree. It was some of the best laughs in the movie, but it was, like...
It was also too much.
Too many times.
Way
too
sorry, much. I made us go back to something you guys already talked about.
No, it's cool.
That's okay. We love when you do that.
That means it's...
But honestly, just think, next week, well, we don't know. Hopefully, this trailer, if Blade Runner opens in theaters, like, at early Thursday screenings, that means that this should probably be dropping on Wednesday. So maybe by next...
Good
time
old
we
hump
do
day
this,
treat.
We will have a new trailer to watch with y'all and break down next week.
Who doesn't love a hump day treat?
Great question. Don't have an answer for that.
I know what we all love.
Someone said, does this mean, Ginger Weatherby said, does this mean Cyborg or Superman gets sidelined? No, it means tune in to the CW and you can see Cyborg Superman.
Oh, yeah, I love Cyborg Superman.
One of the most accurate realizations of a character I've ever seen.
Super wonderful depiction.
But I digress. Brilliant. That's not for movie time.
That's for...
It's time for
Boxer
Strives TV. That was really good. You were right on the cue with that. Also,
Mikey Christmas time. DC movies. Did you see Mikey Christmas is starting to Instagram today about Christmas?
Oh, really?
Is he really?
He started posting about
Christmas.
Is the
season open
for
him?
Yeah, he says once it hits October, he's allowed to listen to music.
I got to get back on that guy's good side so I get some of those cookies.
Oh, yeah, that's the only reason. Just for the cookies.
You
got to
stop arguing with him on the damn show so much. I don't want to be left out on his baked goods because of your mouth.
All right, so going into TV time, this is, to me, probably the least surprising news that I've ever heard, that Tom Welling is open to being on The Flash.
Well, gee.
His quote is, I'm willing to go on The Flash, and I have a a few ideas on how it can happen if the network asks me. In fact, I think I can make it happen.
Well,
okay. He's like, in fact, why am I? I'm not going to finish this quote.
I'm going to go talk.
I have a phone call to make.
It's so true. He's like, why am I talking to these people? I love, like, it starts with, I'd be willing to go on, and then it's like, actually, I can make this happen. Like,
she's like, I forgot I have somebody's phone number. Like,
this is a gig that I probably need right about now.
Do you think he'd be on as some Elseworlds, and chat role, please chime in on this, like, some Elseworlds, like, Cal or Superboy or Superman? Because they have Tyler Hoechlin in there.
I think we would have to do that, because I mean, what are you going to do? Just cast him as a completely new, like, what is he going to come in as a villain that has nothing to do with... That would be strange.
He could
weird.
Be Bizarro.
There's a reason we have Infinite Earths, you know, like,
yeah.
For this purpose.
I mean, we know CW or DC rather always loves this.
The homage casting. John Wesley Shipp. Like, yeah. We've got to do something similar.
A lot of shipping, Rocks.
Nope. Well, I was actually talking about.
Are you? Yeah, so I think he's shipping Tom Welling and The Flash.
Throwing ships
can
out
you,
there.
Can you ship a character in a TV show?
Yes, new
yeah,
rules.
Yeah, of course you can.
New rules. 280 character rules.
Yeah. All right, according to Stephen Amell, the 2017 crossover between Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow, now officially titled Crisis on Earth X, will not only be the Arrowverse's biggest crossover yet, but it will also feel like a four-hour movie. Mm. So when we initially talked about this, we talked about it being two-hour movies, or how did we... Was that what it
I
was?
I remember we talked about it way longer than we should have at the time. We were trying to figure out,
yeah.
Well, if it starts on this night, is it going to feel like a movie?
So I think we talked about it being two-hour movies, and now he's saying it's one four-hour movie. 2 + 2 = 4, and also math. So that's how I feel about that.
There you go.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to take out 14 minutes per episode for commercials.
That's true.
So that's really a 3-hour plus movie.
And now it's more than 14 minutes, I feel like. Anyway.
It's 22 and a half programmable minutes usually per half hour on television. So it's about 7 minutes of advertising.
Well, 22 would be 8.
Yeah, 22 and a half, I think, is programming. So 7.5. So maybe 15.
Maybe. Wow. I mean,
so maybe it's a three-hour movie, so why are they bullshitting us?
This has gotten so weird. I don't watch Quantico. Any of you guys watch Quantico?
I saw the debut episode like a year or two ago. That was it.
I believe his name is Russell Tovey. I think that's how you pronounce it. It was cast as the Ray. Adam, any familiarity with the Ray coming over to Arrowverse?
No, what is that character picture right there? That looks like, is that like from Young Justice or something?
That's what it looks like to me, honestly.
I don't know. I gotta say, guys, I don't really know the Ray that much.
The Ray has been touted as the first gay superhero to headline his own series.
Sweet.
I like that, sweet Johnny.
On board.
CW Seed is already, it's got the Vixen, but I guess that maybe this is developed as an animated series. The show will be streamed on CW Seed first, Freedom Fighters, The Ray.
Cool.
So that's cool.
All right.
I'm into that. He's a handsome gent, so I wonder if... we'll ever get to see his face enough because of the animated. Anyway, attractive people doing voiceovers. That's like Mila Kunis again.
Well, but you think this is sort of like the CW does this backdoor pilot thing where even instead of having
possibly
them show up in
Vixen.
Live action, right?
Yeah.
Like you show up an animator really in the. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I always like that. Saturn Girl was cast on Supergirl. It's so hard with the abbreviations.
That's
SG
exciting.
On SG with the SG. SGG.
Yeah, that's
SG.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, what's cool about S's? This, and with Mon-El, a lot of people are thinking that, and like the Legion ring, that we're going to see some kind of like Legion of Superheroes, which means like maybe we can get some kind of like Brainiac. What is it? Like Brainiac 2087 or something like that? The future Brainiac, Saturn Girl, Mon-El, Supergirl. I mean, yeah, this is going to be pretty good. It's going to be a little super team.
Another interesting thing about this is that since she's heading to Supergirl, Amy Jackson will play the latest hero headed to Earth. The role marks the U.S. debut of the Bollywood actress who started her career as a model. So
Matthew
cool Leaf
said the
that.
Actress is problematic. What, she suck?
What?
She suck?
She said, does she suck?
What did it say? She hasn't acted too much?
Well, she's a Bollywood actress, so that doesn't mean she hasn't acted too much. She obviously has, but the U.S. debut, so not here.
So Matthew Leach, why is she problematic?
I don't know.
Yep. Okay.
She was played by Alex Johnson in Smallville, so cool. If you remember her Saturn Girl from there. I'm excited. unless she's too problematic, and then I'm not excited. Okay, and our last piece of TV. Adam, give it to me. Are you watching Gotham this season?
How many episodes are we in?
One or two?
I saw that episode.
You did?
Nice.
I did. Tonight will be number two.
I did. I think my favorite part about the episode, spoilers, guys, if you haven't seen it yet, was the bit between Bruce and Selina.
That was my favorite! Was I thought you were going to make so much fun of me because it was like...
No, it was the best part.
But her walking on the... Like, no spoilers... Right?
Funny,
yeah, it was the best part.
Fun fact. A fun fact about Selina, I found, the woman or the girl who plays Selina.
Actress.
So she's a former really, really good dancer, right?
Okay.
And so I have a family friend who I've actually helped them physical therapy wise. They have a daughter who she's now 16, but started dancing at 9 and was getting all these videos and hip hop. Like, she was really, really good. They go back like a long way and they're buddies because I was talking to her one day. She goes, oh, yeah, do you watch Gotham? I go, sure. They go, yeah, the girl who plays Selina, she's like an amazing dancer, and they're like old dance friends from like 7 years ago.
Do you know how old that actress is now?
I'm hoping over 18. She's so hot.
I don't think she is.
Thank you for saying it, because
I'll find out right now. I don't think she is.
And they really, it's interesting. What do you guys think is like the inspiration? Like, Gotham seems to have a lot, it seems very Nolan and Tim Burton verse.
Yes.
To me, like, it's got a lot. I mean, and the fact that they cast her clearly because she looks like a young Michelle Pfeiffer, and more and more every day.
Her name is Carmen Bicondova.
She's good.
She was born May 22nd, 1999. So that means she just turned 18.
Oh, 99 is so...
But that's also a twist. That means I've actually been graduated from college for 18 years, too, which means that I graduated college as an adult, and she was just being born.
And before Gotham...
And now she's hot.
Before Gotham, she essentially had no credits. So... There you go.
She can go places.
I mean, how do you have that many credits earlier than that? She's really great. And honestly, I'm not surprised to hear she was such a great dancer, because now that she's learning...
She's very athletic. That's how she booked the role, because being Catwoman...
Yeah, but now she's learning how to use that whip and do all those things. You can see her movement. She's great.
I like it.
She's really good.
And I love David, too, the guy who plays Bruce Wayne. He's a wonderful little actor as
Mazooz? Yeah, he's...
So I like the show. It's weird, but that was the best moment of the entire episode. I will agree.
Yeah, that was really cool. So we'll see. It always...
What do you think of Poison Ivy?
I mean, like, I feel like that whole aging her up thing was just so they could have a hot Poison Ivy on the show.
And she
like,
is.
I mean, she is, but she seems a little dim right now. I don't know, but...
Is she, like, crushing on Penguin at all? I can't tell what that relationship is.
I don't know. They're going full on with the Scarecrow stuff right now, and I think the next episode deals with Scarecrow. So, wait, why wasn't there a new episode on this past...
There is. Last Thursday was the first episode.
Oh, it was Thursday, wasn't
tonight.
It? Didn't it used to be on Monday?
Yeah, it moved.
Oh, so tonight, New Gotham. Okay, cool.
Tonight.
And, guys, I don't know, is anybody playing the Telltale series? I finally got through the first chapter of season 2, and it was fun.
How's it going?
It's really fun. I mean, I love that show. And I haven't seen the trailer for the second episode, but I'm hearing they're teasing Bane.
Whoa.
Which is good. Oh, yeah, there's like a whole potential Joker thing. Oh, there was a crazy scene in a church.
Oh,
that's right. Anybody forgot Roxy's masterful Bane cat impression?
I live in the darkness.
Masterful
of the litter box.
We almost got out of there, guys.
What a way to do it.
We almost got out of there.
Hashtag Bane cat.
Is that everything?
I think so.
Yeah, our DC shows are coming back, not this Monday, but the following, and Lucifer is coming back as well, so we got a lot of good TV time stuff coming up soon.
Oh, Matthew Leach, to clarify why the actress is problematic, she said she's white and wears brown face makeup in the Bollywood films she's in.
Ooh, tough look.
I mean, does that make her problematic?
Or
I don't know.
Does that make the producer?
Yeah, I mean, it's in Bollywood. I feel like anything they say is okay within Bollywood. They're the ones who hired her. Is it the actress or the producers that are problematic? I don't know.
She was born for the brown
actors got to eat, you know?
That's a tough one.
Yeah. Not so sure.
Get us out of here, Johnny. Quick,
anyways, that's the show. We're at DC Movies SK on Twitter, facebook.com/DC Movies SK. Mike Kalinowski, follow him at Mike Kalinowski, and remind him that he has to make Christmas treats coming up really soon. Adam Gertler, go!
Hey, guys. Talk to me at Adam Gertler on Twitter or Instagram or something like that. Might be talking about some movies on FX coming up. Go to Doghouse restaurants, all that good thing. Hopefully we'll have some exciting things to talk about. I'm really looking forward to November. October, I got nothing for you, but it's going to be fire in November.
I like how Solange Knowles says bye to you two and not me. What's up with that?
whatever.
So rude. Roxy Stryer.
I'm Roxy Stryer. You can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. Also over at Screen Junkies TV Fights. This Tuesday, we're doing a 90s fight. It's the 90s. Go the 90s.
Meaning?
Whatever. Smell you later.
It means movies made before Catwoman was born.
Okay. So we're talking all TV shows, all 90s.
All 90s.
Oh my God, that'd be so much fun.
All 90s.
It better be in living color. I'm gonna be mad.
Fly away. Fly away.
Bye-bye.
As if whatever free will.
Get Johnny's album out.
Yes, QuastoAlbum.com, guys. I'm trying to get a resurgence with the album because it was so much fun, and I would love your support, and trust me, I guarantee you're going to enjoy the album. Also, I won't be here next week. I'm going to be at the San Francisco Punchline with my good friend Rachel Feinstein October 5th. Through 7th. So if you're up in San Francisco, you can come out and see us. Otherwise, QuastoAlbum.com, JLoComedy.com. Guys, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We love you. We'll see you next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit PopcornTalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host.